Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second episode in the second season of Talkport. I'm joined here today by Justin.
Hello.
Sparky.
Hey.
And Aiden.
Hello.
Today, the topic of discussion is regarding A13, the new iPhones, and the new watch, and sort of a retrospective on how the launch has been so far. So, to get things started, which of the new devices do you guys have? I'll go first. I have a new iPhone 11 in red.
I got the Apple Watch Series 5, mm-hmm. Aluminum.
I picked up an iPhone 11 and 11 Pro Max.
And Aiden?
I also got an 11 Pro Max.
So how are you finding them so far? Is there anything noteworthy you think that people are sort of like not paying much attention to, or you feel like should be?
The Max is bigger than the not Max.
Yeah, that is indeed a fact of the phones. That is true. Mm-hmm. I personally, this is going to be a controversial opinion, but I think the ultra wide camera is like 10 times more important than the telephoto. Like, the telephoto camera is just, I don't even miss it.
It's meh.
Yeah, what do you use the ultra wide camera for? Really
I use it for when I'm like close to something and I don't want to back up, or for like group shots or macro shots.
Yeah, but have you ever actually had to like take a picture of like notes in class or anything like that?
No, because I haven't had class since I got it.
Okay, but like, if you did.
If I did, I don't know if I'd use it for that, because I just use the document scanners that's in notes.
Microsoft files. Lens, or Scannable or whatever, the one I use now. Those ones are pretty good, though. Scannable for board scanning.
Yeah.
Lens is pretty good, too, though.
Mm. I wish Snapchat would add, as basic as this is going to sound, I wish Snapchat would add compatibility for the ultra-wide, because they only support a single camera so far, and it's just...
Dude, Snapchat fucking sucks on the...
Oh, agreed.
Phone. Like, well, the quality is seriously down, even from, like, an iPhone 7.
I don't know if this is true on iOS, but I know on Android, the way it records is it doesn't actually record from the camera. It takes a screenshot of the viewfinder.
Yeah. It's true on Android. I don't think it is on iOS, but it's
I think it might have used to be in iOS.
Yeah. But on iOS it feels like it could just be like a lot better than it is, and it's just a complete lack of it. It's like they focus more on adding like stupid discover stories than like actually improving the app.
Yeah, but to be fair, like, I mean, it's Snapchat, so like the camera quality matters to a degree, but like mm-hmm. after a certain point, like, I mean, you're just sending like pictures of half of your face anyway. So, like, Android snaps look awful, but like I haven't seen an iPhone snap in a long, long time that has looked bad enough that I cringed. So it's fine.
Yeah, that's basically how I could sum up the entire Snapchat app experience as a whole.
That's the thing, like. The app is terrible, and like it just barely works. But yeah. The service itself is pretty fun, and it makes like communicating with friends pretty easy and fun at the same time. So it's not very good, but as far as experience goes, it's not terrible.
Here's a fun one for you. It doesn't matter how bad the Snapchat app has gotten over the years. I have like refused to move over to Instagram stories in any capacity.
Instagram stories are nasty.
They are genuinely, they basically one of people's main complaints was I have a set of friends on Snapchat and a different audience on Instagram, and I don't want to make
exactly
it. So and you see Instagram like, integrated a whole other list of friends like just for the stories and stuff. And I still think it's worse than, like, Snapchat.
It really is. Because, like, you see Snapchat, it's a lot of, like, most of the content is more personal, you know? Because there's less people. You only have, you know, closer friends on Snap for the most part. It's more personal. The content is more entertaining. On Instagram stories, it, like, half the time it's pictures of somebody on vacation. Like, I'm sorry, but, like...
Not even that. I feel like I'm shilled to twice as hard on Instagram stories, even though they don't have the Discover pages.
Yeah.
Like, my honestly, microphone has been muted for like 5 minutes and I didn't notice.
But like,
I was saying though, iMessage stories, I would use that.
Oh, iMessage story, that would be a terrible thing. That would kill Snapchat.
That would be pretty solid, to be honest.
I am reading the chat, Mika, don't worry.
But I don't know, like, Snapchat's just more fun than Instagram, you know? Mm-hmm. Stories, okay, so stories on Instagram may be a bit more polished than they are on Snapchat, but the actual content itself is what matters, and the Instagram stories content is garbage. Like, for the first, like, how long has Instagram stories been out for? Well, like, to this day, the only thing I ever post on my Instagram story is promotion to go add me on Snap.
Like, I did the same thing. I only ever put up one Instagram story, and it was saying, I don't use Instagram stories, I'm only ever going to use Snapchat.
I do that every once in a while for, like, new followers and whatever. But
is exactly one thing I want from Instagram stories in Snapchat, and it baffles me it hasn't been added yet. The poll.
What's that? Polls? Poll, oh, yeah, polls. Yeah, a poll would be nice in Snapchat. That'd actually be fun.
Yeah.
But
I could show it in line with, like, the views.
Instagram as a whole has just been sort of boring lately, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the content is not as fun. There's not much going on. Like, all the memes I've seen, like, it's just, I don't know.
But enough about Snapchat. Back to the phones. So have you been in a situation yet where you thought, I've really benefited from this one thing, or have you at any point gone, I miss 3D Touch so much, why did they have to get rid of it?
Man, I still have 3D Touch and I miss it because they killed it on iOS 13.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but you still have it as an option, and it still, like, functions on iOS 13, even if it's not as good as on 12.
Somewhat.
Yeah, but, like, using
like the main one that
I feel like the bridge has been 90%, like the gap has been 90% bridged, but the issue for me is the keyboard still. It doesn't matter, like, how much they refine it, just the level of control you got with 3D Touch, I don't think that's going to be available in Haptic Touch.
Don't forget selecting text.
I'm back again.
You can select text, but the issue... Yeah, you can select text, but the issue is how you do it. You have to use a second finger to tap on the keyboard while holding down to
select. Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah, and then you can't unselect text either, which is just mega stupid.
I have to say, I hate the new... you know the, like, how you used to tap and hold on an icon on your home screen and it would just enter wiggle mode?
Right.
Now it opens, like, the 3D touch menu, like...
If you move around the icon, it'll go anyways.
You can hold it and then slightly move your thumb and you're in wiggle mode anyway.
Yeah, but it's so annoying. It's so annoying.
I've gotten used to that.
It's just uncomfortable and, like, it's a fat downgrade, like, in experience anyway.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I noticed without 3D Touch is, like, the crappy software replacement they have on the home screen now for the app actions. Yep. Like, it's almost as good, but it'll never be as good.
The issue is it will never be instant.
Yeah, there's definitely a delay there.
Which implies that you have to hold it for a period of time.
I've just realized that I've had my Discord notification sounds on this whole time. But Haptic Touch on the home screen is just bad. It feels like I honestly would have preferred it if they had just gotten rid of it rather than
telling Aiden about that earlier. Like, I find the new actions and whatever, and having to either move your finger or press rearrange apps to, you know, enter wiggle mode.
Yeah,
I find that it's worse now than it was on the iPhone 6 before 3D Touch was a thing.
Yeah, it is.
Like, how did they downgrade that?
Yeah, I see what they're trying to do, but, like, honestly, I don't think it's going to work, and we would have just been better off without it.
On a more positive note, though, the new Apple Watch is great, I have to say. I have no complaints about it. Battery life is great. Performance is... Well, okay, keep in mind, I'm coming from a Series 0. Came from a Series 0, but the performance is so much better. Apps launch quick, it's smooth, it's just great, I love it.
Well, I have an issue with the Series 5, and I don't actually own one.
What's that?
It's got a whole new processor that's called the S5, And what's new about it is that it has a compass, and it has a new display controller. That is it. Like the CPU and GPU are the exact same.
I'll admit it's not a huge upgrade from the Series 4, other than the always on display.
Yeah,
but like if you're coming from an
which
older
you want
watch,
to turn off
it's...
for some reason.
Yeah, because it makes me uncomfortable.
Okay, well, Aiden, I'm not going to let you attack him for this because I would do the exact same thing.
It feels weird. It looks weird.
You should feel bad.
I feel like there's a bit of improvement, especially with the always on, because I had the motion face on before, and when it would dim, it would go grayscale, and it would sort of like physically scale down, so it wasn't the right size, and it wasn't the right color, and it just looked bizarre. I was not about it. I've come pretty close to just completely turning off AOD, but even if you turn it off, what you have is basically a Series 4 with a compass. So if you're coming from an old like Apple Watch, like, you know, Series 1, 2, Series 0, it's a huge upgrade. It's fantastic.
I think someone I know said this to me, and I stand by this. I think it's a really good take. The biggest reason to buy a Series 5 if you have a Series 4 is new materials, which is just like...
Titanium.
Yeah, like the titanium
ceramic.
There is good news in there. This does make James Luke's job slightly easier with Bren Rake, because now there's not a whole other ARM 64 32 processor that he has to work with.
Is it the same processor as the Series 4?
Oh, it's the exact same CPU and GPU, yeah.
I see.
Yeah. It's called S5, though, which is just scummy.
Well, it has the compass, and doesn't it have a new hardware to run the AOD?
Could you imagine? I'm sorry, but could you imagine if Apple released like an A14 and it's just an A13 with a better compass?
Yeah, I mean it's disappointing, but like it's not like you're getting a downgrade in performance at all. So I'm not, I'm not too upset about it. Especially like I would never upgrade it from a Series 4. But
there's also another bad thing is that it uses the exact same battery as the Series 5, and even though they've optimized always on display, it still uses battery. So, like, no matter what, you're getting worse battery than Series 4.
I mean, at this point, I mean, my watch is still pretty new, so the battery's not shot yet. But the battery life is, it lasts more than I need it to, by quite a bit. So, I'm not complaining about that.
2 days out of it, because that's what
I haven't tried. I haven't tried to get 2 days out of it. I always charge all my devices at night. So before I go to bed, like I put my phone on the charging pad, plug in my iPad, put the Apple Watch magnetic charger on the back of it, whatever. So I've never actually tried to get the 2 days yet. I just go for a day and it's at like a fairly high percent, and I'm like, all right, that's good enough for me. Like right now, I'm at 76%, and I've been up for like 4 hours.
If I was you,
I've been up for longer than that.
If I was you, I would try and wear it for 2 days and sleep track in between as well.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
But, like, right now I'm at 76%, and I woke up probably 30 this morning.
That's a very good question by Thanatis.
Sorry, what's that?
Thanatis just asked a really good question. What are the development of WatchOS jailbreaks? So, James Luke is currently working on one. He's working on Bren Rake. I'm not entirely sure if Series 4 will be supported. I think it might be, but it's... hard because like A12 it has pack, but aside from that, I know it works up to 5.1.2, so if your watch isn't past 5.1.2, you should be okay when Bren Rake eventually drops. But yeah,
press F for series 5.
It's honestly just series 4.1 to me.
Yeah, pretty much. But as I said, if you're coming from an older device, it can be a worth it upgrade.
Oh, for sure.
Would you recommend the upgrade from Series 1? Because that's what I have at the moment.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. I owned a Series 0. And
2.
It's the upgrade is, like, it's indescribable. Like, my Series 0,
yeah,
I'm not going to lie. Like, the battery was not very good anymore. It lagged. And it had, it took a long time to launch apps, and it wasn't running the newest version of WatchOS, and it, you know, like, it wasn't terrible, but it was not as good as when it first came out, and it was definitely not as good as the new devices. So going from, like, a Series 0 or Series 1 to a Series 5, wow, huge jump, you're gonna love it.
I had a Series 2, which has the same processor as the Series 1. And honestly, even when I got my Series 4, the difference was night and day. Like, it was just so much nicer. When you get a new watch, I think Justin can attest to this, you find yourself using the watch more just, like, because you can. Because it's, like, powerful enough to not sort of get in your way and make you want to just pull out your phone.
Yeah, because, since it's faster, like, if I'm going to launch an app on my watch, I'm not going to give up. Do it on my phone, you know? That didn't happen too often on my Series 0, but it doesn't happen at all on the Series 5. And Moses asked a question in the talk board discussion, whether I had a 38 or a 42 millimeter before. I had a 42 before, and I have a 44 now.
Right. Yeah, so would you change the watch UI if you could? Well, I mean, you sort of can, in the sense that on the home screen you can choose between the honeycomb layout that people are used to, or a list view, which is like an alphabetized list of your apps that you can scroll through with the crown. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, my main reason for not using that list view is because I can effectively... It's basically the really nice animation that comes from going from the home screen into the watch app. Like, every single watch face has a really nice animation. If you like just go into it quick with the or go into it slowly with the crown.
Like, if I could change anything about the watch layout, probably only two things. One, I would add support for third-party watch faces, because that's like the biggest thing for me right now. Like, I would love to be able to install or make my own watch faces, you know.
That would be a thing with Rembrandt. So look forward to that.
That would be nice. And another thing that a jailbreak could bring, for the home screen layout, I would love if there was an option to have it set up like, you remember the iPod Nano 6 generation with the four icons on every page?
Oh yeah, that, we were talking about this in the last episode.
We were, and I think that would be a pretty cool option if it was, you know, like an option on the watch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those are the only two things that have changed.
Okay, so this is a good question for you, Sparky. Are the A13 processor and iOS 13 security upgrades which pose a significant challenge to jailbreaking?
Was that A13 and iOS 13, or just A13? In A13, it's fairly similar to A12, as we were kind of expecting. The big change they made is, so before we had on A12 we had APR, which was I think we called it Apple Page Reroute, Page Protection Reroute possibly, and that managed PPL, and in A13 they've now updated APR to a new protection called SPR, and that is, we have, so it's early days, no one's really sure how it works yet, but we know they've added a couple of new instructions for entering like protected PPL mode, and SPR seems to fuck with a lot more stuff on the system than APR did last year. So that's the big thing in terms of the hardware. In terms of the software, most of the changes I know about are geared towards exploitation, but I don't think there's anything in terms of just like raw jailbreaking that I can think of off the top of my head. Things like the root file system remount still work fine. Tweak injection should be fairly similar to how it was on A12 and iOS 12. So yeah, that's the only big change really.
I think there was a few concerns that A13 might have ARM 8.5. I think
no, it doesn't.
I'm saying people were like saying it might.
Yeah.
That brings, what is it, memory tagging, right?
Yeah, it's MTA.
So do you want to kind of explain to everyone what memory tagging is?
So basically when you have like a certain amount of memory in a system, and you have a thing called an allocator which allocates chunks of that memory depending on how much you need to different bits of code. And typically there's no protections around the memory itself other than like being readable, writable, executable. So if you have some bug like a use after free, you can basically have some piece of code maybe accessing memory that shouldn't be. You might have like a buffer overflow, like overflowing into another allocation that's being used by a different piece of code. And that's basically how a lot of memory corruption-based exploits work on that premise. The idea of memory tagging is that you assign, whenever you allocate a chunk of memory, you assign a specific tag to it, and you put that tag in the pointer for that piece of memory. And anytime a read, or I believe it's a read or write, happens to a piece of memory, it checks the tag on the pointer you're using and makes and ensures that that tag matches the actual tag of the piece of memory. So it's kind of like, you have to have a special key to access this piece of memory. The tags are all stored in a separate address space, so theoretically it's not possible to modify them. And assuming they implement it how the, basically the ARM specification, what they've described in there seems to be fairly solid, and assuming they implement it as well as that explains or better, it's looking to be quite a serious mitigation. But obviously that's not coming till next year, so really we have no idea how it's going to turn out. Just the best guess we have at the moment is based on what they've released in the ARM v5 8.5 spec.
Thanks for that. Another question: should the community be more focused on tvOS jailbreaks or watchOS jailbreaks? I'm gonna take a shot here. I'm gonna say, why not both? Like, we have different developers working on different jailbreaks for the two platforms. We have Nito, who does a really good job with Chimera TV. We have James Luke, who's currently working on Brembrake. We've had Overclock in the past, which was that Tim Star? I think it was Tim Star.
I think so.
I think it's not unreasonable to want both. I don't think it's unreasonable to ask for both, considering it's not an either-or choice. You won't have the same developer working on a watchOS jailbreak or a tvOS jailbreak. It will be one or the other. How do the rest of you feel?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. Because, I mean, it's not like only one thing can happen at once, you know, because there's so many people. So I think you hit that one.
Theoretically, if it's planned well enough, you could actually have the same core jailbreak running across all different platforms, because they're based on the same code base, right? Like, The kernel is basically the same between every device. So you could have a core jailbreak library, and then you can like base specialized jailbreaks around that. Shouldn't be hard. It would take a bit of planning, but
yeah,
that'd be really cool, actually. How Chimera TV works?
Based on the same code base, but yeah, it's a similar idea.
Jailbreak time was Tim Sartre. So who was Overclock?
I think that was mine, Overclock.
Oh, Overclock was yours?
Yeah, but it was like a work in progress.
Oh, today I learned. Would you say a watchOS jailbreak is drastically different to an iOS one?
Honestly, I don't think so. Like, basically, the only difference is just the tweaks at the end of the day. Same with tvOS. The only difference there, again... Well, yeah, basically the only difference is you don't have Springboard on watchOS or tvOS. That's pretty much it. Like, obviously, tweaks won't always... Well, 99% of the time, they won't be cross-compatible. But you could, basically copy and paste a jailbreak and get it running on a different device.
Here's a weird one for you. Do you think you could install a tweak on your phone, and if your watch is also jailbroken, like, it could affect both devices in a way? Or would that have to be a package manager sort of thing?
No, you fully could do that, yeah. When I was sort of theorizing about a watchOS jailbreak a year or two ago, the idea was that you'd have a package manager on your phone, or it would be built into your normal package manager. And then behind the scenes, the jailbreak would set up its own connection between the watch and the phone that could transfer data and install tweaks. So the actual code of the tweaks would still be running on the watch, but they could be installed remotely via the paired phone.
James, just out of interest, is he listening? He is. There he is. Yeah. How are you handling that? Are you doing a package manager on the watch, or are you having a companion on the phone. Companion app. Makes sense. Just like how the App Store used to work. Right, fair enough. I feel like I'm going to be doing a WatchOS jailbreak episode soon. That should be fun. We can have you on there, James, if you'd be interested. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So with A13, like you said, you're not really expecting it to be sort of that much different to A12.
As things go, I think people are generally just working around PPL and APRR, and as far as I know, the same basic premise of PPL still holds, that you can't access that memory technically. So as far as jailbreaks are concerned, I think it's probably fine. They could always, Apple might have thrown in some other stuff we don't know about yet. I haven't run into any issues personally, but there could always be something.
Okay, so on to the next question in the Talkable channel. Tweaks you want to include in stock iOS? Jellyfish. Maybe? Shortlook and Jellyfish would probably be it for me.
Yeah, I think so. Because they already included ultrasound, basically.
What about you, Sparky?
Like lock HTML or something to customize the lock screen. Apart from that, since they added dark mode and stock iOS 13 is actually pretty nice, it has to be said.
I'm gonna say color flow too. Color flow is nice.
Oh well, I mean, the lyric screen is
the lyric screen is beautiful, but if they apply that to the lock screen, that'd be amazing.
That would be good. I'm with you on that one. Little box, if that was colored, that would be it for me.
Also, a tweak to revert the new haptic touch bizarreness.
That should be a setting. Wait, is it not a setting?
Yeah, I agree. It's not a setting. I went to disable haptic touch because I was like, this is disgusting. And I have a 3D touch enabled device, so why is that on anyway?
No.
So I went into the settings. It's not a thing.
I have a haptic touch device, which is why I'm going to check.
Yeah, let me know if it's there. But yeah. They
moved accessibility into its own thing, didn't they? Where is it? I swear
it really is genuinely awful.
Let me check. Haptic 3D and haptic touch and accessibility. Haptic touch. You can only change it to fast or slow.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yike. Patrick says, do you think we will ever see a future without jailbreaking? I feel like just from Sparky going from between 3 days from delivery to TPFO, I think we can safely say that's not going to happen anytime soon. Because even if he never releases it, it's proof that sort of with the right dedication and time, things will happen.
I mean, my opinion, you can always and will always be able to jailbreak the device. It's just a matter of whether there's demand for it. Because it, like back in iOS 4 or whatever, iOS was pretty slim down compared to what it is now. Like, it's a lot better. And I don't think there's as much space for tweaks and need for tweaks nowadays as there used to be. So I think really it basically just comes down to how long the community survives for. And obviously with iPhone security getting better, it doesn't help. So jailbreaks might become less frequent. I don't know. I think theoretically it could always be pulled off. It's just a matter of whether it's feasible to do it or not.
Okay. Matt asks, what was your first Mac/Apple product? Mine, iPad 2.
iPod Touch 4th gen.
It's a common one. I think a lot of people got in on that device.
I'm a one up that with iPod Touch 3rd gen, but my dad had an iPhone 3G that I used once in a while, so he would let me.
Besides root access or tweak injection or similar catch-all answers, what features could realistically be implemented into iOS? I feel like this is kind of a different one from tweaks that you would want to be included in the way that it's asking what's realistic. I feel like a design like Jellyfish isn't that outlandish. I feel like that is...
No, I don't think so, because it's straight from the watch, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think color flow is unrealistic either, because they've already done it in the app. They just have to apply the same thing to the lock screen.
Mm-hmm. For years people said they'd never change the volume HUD, and here we are on 13. So, you know, anything could happen, but as for what's realistic, it's a tough one, because there's some tweaks that are so well made, you couldn't discern them from system features, but at the same time, you could never see Apple adding them as system features. I think a good example of this is Shortlook. Shortlook is a very well made tweak, but I don't see Apple ever including that as an option on the iPhone.
It makes sense
the way Apple's implementing it on the watch, but it doesn't make sense for them to implement it on the phone the way they do on the watch.
I don't know, I
like Shortlook simply because like my phone can just be far away and I still can read exactly what I'm getting.
Yeah,
that's basically why I made it, other than it looks cool.
Yeah, I think it's as good as a system function, so I don't really think it's an issue of if it's...
Like, obviously you don't lose anything by including it, and the only thing it can do is just make notifications easier to read without effort. And that's, like, a lot of the feedback I've gotten is just, like, wow, I don't need to actually pick up my iPhone and look at it anymore. So it's not much.
Update, I'm making waffles.
Okay. What else could be realistically added? Just thinking off the top of my head, I think this is going to be kind of a controversial one. I think themes could eventually become a thing. I could see that.
Oh, you never know. I mean, they did it with keyboards already. They allowed us to install it on keyboards, which was nobody ever thought that would happen.
And not even that is themes you could can be possible. Already if the developer allows it, you can already change app icons out of their selection. So I don't think it's too much of a stretch to go on to icon packs made by designers, but I think the reason we may not see it is because I don't think Apple wants to have to deal with sort of legal issues of someone else profiting off the logo of a company by selling a theme pack on the App Store.
I mean, that's not rare in apps that already exist.
Hmm.
like half of the apps that... Like half of the trash apps, like probably just take an icon glyph from wherever and stick that on there.
Yeah.
So you still have those same issues. Just
but I mean, in terms of like sort of if you look at like some of the licenses for like sort of brand assets, like if you go onto like YouTube for example and you want to use their icon and you want to theme it in a way, it says. Almost every single one says this. It says you're not allowed to alter the logo in any way, and you're not allowed to put it on certain backgrounds. So I feel like
can they say that though?
I mean, is that really legally binding though?
No. As in, not for not.
I feel like fair
use
would cover that. I have no idea, but
yeah, fair use. But fair use would probably cover that because it would be seen as transformative. But I don't know. I just feel like it's murky, and I think for that reason alone, that might be one reason Apple avoids it.
I don't think Apple would ever do it just because they're kind of against any customizability other than basic settings.
But I mean, to be fair, they always app icons changing if the developer implements it. I don't think it's that far of a stretch from there.
Yeah, because the developer has like full control over their brand. Apple doesn't want to grant that to like random people, especially their own brand, like messages, whatever. They would never let anybody.
And they'd have to vet each icon for each pack.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, As always, like Apple always wants everybody's stuff to sort of look the same. So you know from afar, oh, that's an iPhone. Oh, that's a MacBook. So I don't know if that would.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. Like the.
I don't know how much I care about that anymore.
Last question, at Sparky, how would you recommend people get into iOS security research?
Honestly, it's a tough question. Because I whenever I learn something new, I have this habit of just jumping in at the deep end and sort of learning my way through brute force. Obviously, that doesn't work for anyone, for everyone. Honestly, you've just got to. I mean, there's a lot of public resources out there, like tutorials and stuff. So I would recommend starting with writing like exploits for one days. There's a lot of write-ups on that. And like the Pegasus bugs, I think Billy Ellis did a really good YouTube series on those bugs. And I mean, yeah, it's hard. It's always hard for me to say whenever I get asked this question, because I just literally just started writing a jailbreak and then I figured things out from there. So, you know, you could try that and see how it goes. I'm sure it's worked for other people too. But yeah, I'd look at a lot of the public information that's out there and just try and get your head around things.
Where would you recommend finding that public information?
Seguza's blog, my blog, Jay and Doc did a blog post on the Pegasus bugs. Billy Ellis did a YouTube series on the Pegasus bugs. I think all the open source public jailbreaks like Meridian, Yalu, even old versions of Uncover and Electra, they still have a lot of good information in them.
Okay. Right. That will be that. Thank you for joining us, Sparky and Aiden. We will see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. I will have the edited version out before the next episode, and I hope to have it out in the next few days. Thank you, and goodbye.